the soul, the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey. Judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. And in keeping of them there is great reward.
Well, welcome everyone, praise God. I trust we can hear, we got good sound. That's good news. Well, welcome everyone from the UK and from the States and other places around the world. It's good to be in fellowship and to share with you all. And I trust the Lord's blessings on you all. And it is a privilege and joy to be able to walk with our Lord and Saviour. Hallelujah. Well, I want to exhort you this evening, and we've got a title that we're going to look at tonight, and that is The World's View of Jesus' Disciples. The World's View of Jesus' Disciples. Now, I've used the term Jesus' disciples because when you use such a term as a disciple or Jesus' disciples, it rather emphasizes that it means something. There are many today who are professing themselves religious, or they love Jesus, or they're Christian. They go to church regular and so on. But we never hear very often people say, I'm a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that indeed is what we are. And yet somehow that doesn't seem to be in the vocabulary of Christendom. And that is why I'm calling this teaching tonight The World's View of Jesus' Disciples, because by the way we walk, the way we live our lives is going to display to this world that the Lord has his disciples in the 21st century. And that the idea of a disciple is not something that is in the Word of God and was to be found in the book of Acts, way, 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 way back. No. God is still the same. Jesus is still ever the same. The Word of God is still the same. The Holy Spirit, his teaching, his leading, his guidance is still the same. Even though the world is rapidly changing around us, Yet God ever remains the same. And in his dealings and the way he speaks to us and he leads us and guides us. The scriptures tell us he's the same yesterday, today and forever. So bearing that in mind, we're going to answer that question, the world's view of Jesus' disciples. Now I'm going to base this teaching today on 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 13. And here it says, being defamed, we entreat. We have been made as the filth of the world, the offscouring of all things until now. That is what the Apostle Paul says with regard to his ministry as a disciple and a follower of the Lord. He says we have been made as the filth of the world, the offscouring of all things until now. So he's revealing very clearly that his reputation to the world is not very good at all. And that is what the world is going to view disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. In these last days before the Lord returns, with the falling away that we are seeing now rapidly around the world, they are going to regard us as filth, nonconformists. They're going to say all sorts of things about us and lie through their teeth. They did it with Jesus. They did it with the early church. They did it with the Apostle Paul himself. And they will do it with us. And of course, we know that that is demons that are speaking through people. I don't know whether you're aware of it, but more and more demons are speaking out of society, out of people, out of leaders, politicians. We are hearing more and more demonic voices speaking now in these last days than we even heard 30 years ago. And we need to be on our guard and we need to be able to discern and test those voices, what are speaking. And the enemy is becoming very, very vocal. So how does the world view us as the Lord Jesus Christ's disciples? Well, God isn't going to really show you very much with regard to that. But I can assure you that the world has their eyes on us. How do we know? Because it's the demons that are in them. And those demons that are in them have a certain insight and they know those who are consecrated to the Lord. Even though most in the world are blinded to their oppression or possession, nevertheless, what is in them is viewing and looking at us. And that is why we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. We're up against the powers of darkness. And God is going to teach us and show us more and more about this as we continue to walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. But this is what the apostle said. Now, he is affirming his ministry, which so often he did. And in the context of what he's talking about, that we are foolish for Christ's sake. We are going to be misunderstood. We're going to be ridiculed. We're going to be rejected. They're going to turn their backs on us. You cannot rely on the world and most people in the world particularly if you are a Christian. Our Lord Jesus, in his ministry, although he ministered, and he ministered to hundreds, if not thousands, and he healed them, and he taught, he had his disciples, and he loved them, he loved his enemies, he was able to go to the cross to redeem the world, yet he's never, in his ministry, trusted man. His trust was completely in his Heavenly Father. And we have to walk in the like manner and spirit as well. Do not trust man. Do not trust what he is inventing, what he wants you to buy or get involved with. You make sure that you are led by the Holy Spirit. Because the nature of man, the enemy that is in him, wants to trap you. And this is why we have to walk very close in these last days with the Lord. Our eyes fully fixed upon him every second and moment of the day. Because there are many, many traps out there, and they want to trap you. Because the enemy hates God's people. And this is why we're being taught to walk by faith and not by sight. And this is why God is cutting away all the areas of weakness and unbelief in our lives, so that we're no longer dependent on the arm of the flesh and keep running to the arm of the flesh and for support and guidance and help. Our help cometh from the Lord, the scriptures tell us. And because we desire to do this, we desire to walk by faith and not by sight, the world is going to regard us as filth. That is the word that is used, is filth, defiled, in other words. In other words, what the world is really saying is you're a waste of space. Really, we don't want you around. It's a pity that you are here. And this, of course, is why the enemy will make, before the Lord Jesus Christ returns, the final onslaught against the Christian church. And for a while, it will look as though he's won. It will look as though he is destroying Christendom, God's people, Israel, and it will be the shedding of their blood that will bring Messiah to rule and reign upon the earth. So we're moving rapidly towards these times, and we cannot mess about. We cannot bury our heads in the sands. And we need to walk very close with the Lord, because there are many, many traps out there that's trying to trap us. And that is why we're being trained to walk by faith, because those who walk by faith, trusting God for everything, don't fall into those traps. In other words, you are not reliant upon man, upon the systems that he's building, on all this technology that's rapidly coming upon the earth and so forth. God is delivering us from that in our mind, our heart, our attitude. In other words, I'm not reliant upon it. How reliant are you with your cell phone? Those phones that we carry with us, which are computers, that's what they are. How reliant are we upon them? Have they become our source of life? The same with computers. As is my life completely dependent now on this technology? Because if it is, you're getting trapped. you're getting held. Now, it doesn't mean to say that we can't use it. We're using it this evening. This is how God is using to get the word out. And praise God. But the thing is, are we becoming more and more reliant? Do I buy everything online now? Do I buy all my food online? Do I buy everything online? This is exactly what they want you to do, is to become totally reliant upon this technology so that our lives can be tracked. Every time we go online, we leave a trail behind us, which they can read. They can track you, even the same tonight. This meeting here in this room, we're leaving a trail. We don't know how many come in, how many maybe are listening to this, finding out what is going on. We don't know. And this is why we need to walk these days now by faith, trusting God totally, so that we don't fall into these traps. And there are many of them. So looking at this back in 1 Corinthians 4, we see this in the context that we read that we submit to what appears as foolishness for Christ's sake. In other words, we submit totally, even if it looks foolish. Even if they regard us as filth, the offscouring of things, we still submit in obedience to God's will. What does it say in verse 9 of 1 Corinthians 4? For I think that God has displayed us, the apostles last as men, condemned to death, for we have been made a spectacle to the world, both to angels and to men. So with regard to the apostles' ministry, they have laid their lives down. They're totally 101% committed to the body of Christ. And it looks foolish to the world. Why would men commit themselves so fervently just to a few people who confess that they love the Lord Jesus Christ? Why, it is ridiculous. It is foolish. It is absurd. What a waste of a life. That's what people think. I know people have thought that about me with regard to my ministry. Over the years, I've had people say to me, if you join this particular minister, we can get you invitations around the world. We could get you ministering and preaching to 2, 3, 4, 5,000 people, if not more. Most of you don't know that I was tempted with that years back. That's how the enemy came. But I thank the Lord that he showed me it's not quantity, but quality. Don't ask me how I saw this. Flesh and blood doesn't reveal these things. But I knew that God's people wasn't always in numbers. And you see, when you're called into ministry, you face those temptations sometimes. And I've had ministers say to me, why do you bother with just a handful of people? What a waste of ministry. Oh, I've had that said, brothers and sisters. But you see, I know what the scriptures say. I know at times my ministry might look filth. It might look ridiculous, absurd. But anybody who loves the Lord Jesus Christ, and I know you online also, you love the Lord Jesus Christ as well. That's what they say about us. But let them. Let them, because one day God will glorify his name. He will reveal himself in all of this. And they will be astounded. Because we know that God's ways are not man's ways and his thoughts are not man's thoughts. They're way, 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 way above. So different. So you see, the whole challenge to us is that we are more sometimes concerned about our own desires and our wants to allow ourselves to be refuse or filth to the world. And yet we've got to be willing to let go of all those things. If you're still very concerned about yourself, about your image, about what people think and so on, if you continue to stay with this, you will see that God will work with you. Don't try and make friends with the world if you are filled with the Holy Spirit. You can't do it. It's fire and water. It doesn't mix. Because if you are a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, the world will regard you as foolish, ridiculous, an embarrassment. And for some, that's too big a price to pay. Some tend to think that this, well, of course, is only just for the apostles. It's not for the rest of the church. This was what Paul was speaking about himself. Well, I've got news for you. If you count, we'll look at verses 14 to 17. The apostle Paul wasn't just speaking about himself or the apostles. Let's take it up from verse 14. I do not write these things to shame you, but as my beloved children, I warn you. For though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Therefore I urge you, imitate me. For this reason I have sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved faithful son in the Lord, who will remind you of my ways in Christ as I teach everywhere in every church. So there we are. He says, imitate me. So it's not just the apostles. It's for disciples. This is what it's speaking about. And so we see Paul's sacrifice for the saints. And indeed he did. He was that example. Turn with me to Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. And verse 24. Colossians chapter 1, verse 24. I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the affections of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church. So there we are. He says, I rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh. In other words, your very consecration, my commitment to you as an apostle, works the cross in my life, in my flesh. That's really what he's saying. And God is placing that heart and spirit and nature within us also. He's giving us such a love for Christ's body that we are committed to it, that we pray for it, that we pray one for another, we pray for the ministry. I believe the Holy Spirit's going to start to really give us that unction, that burden for his body as the bride is making herself ready for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Prayer is absolutely essential for this. And we need to consecrate that time so that the body of Christ will be ready, she will be ready, adorned, waiting for the marriage feast when he appears, when he comes for the church. I believe disciples have that unction about them and they take it very, very seriously. But that was Paul's separation to the gospel. And you too are separated to the word of God. Romans chapter 1 and verse 1. Here, what he says in the introduction. Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God. In other words, he says, well, I was called to be an apostle. Very, very few are called to be an apostle. But we are separated to the word of God, to the deeper life, the faith teaching. We're separated to that. We're committed to it. We are allowing God's word to change our lives, to conform us to the standard, to perfect us. That is why there are a lot that don't hear the deeper life. It's not to say that they won't be saved, but you have to be called. You have to be separated. You have to be separated for the work that God is doing. Now, it is for everyone, but not everyone is prepared to pay the price. The apostle was and did. Why? Because he saw that God had separated him for it. And you have to see that, brothers and sisters, in your life, that you are separated in this last day. You are destined for the throne as overcomers. This is why it is not a mistake. This is why what God is doing in your life is not a mistake. Everything that he's doing leads back to the deeper life, the deeper consecration. He keeps bringing us back, doesn't he, to faith. He keeps bringing us back to the deeper life. He keeps bringing us back to discipleship, consecration, trials, faith. He keeps bringing us back, reminding us all the time, same what he's doing tonight. Why? Because you are separated for this, for the sake of the gospel. This is why in the body of Christ, we each of us have a divine calling upon our lives. It isn't by chance or accident. You are divinely called for a specific purpose, ministry for this last day. And your life is not an accident. And sometimes we try to deviate from it or veer off, only to find we lose that peace and God in his mercy brings us back into the fold. And when we start to hear again, walking by faith, trusting God, not trusting in the arm of the flesh, walking the way of the cross. Why is that? Why is it you hear that tonight and yet you can share that with them? A lot of other people who profess Christ as their Lord and Saviour and yet they don't really hear what you're saying. Why is it? Precisely, because you are separated to the gospel. You are separated to this for the last days. The same as the Apostle Paul was separated for his ministry, for that purpose. You are likewise separated for such a time in these end times. This is why flesh and blood can't reveal these things, brothers and sisters. This is why Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. They know when the shepherd speaks. They know when it is the unction, the anointing, you see. And this is why we're calling this teaching today the world's view of Jesus' disciples. And they will see. They will see that God had a remnant who were obedient unto him, whom he will reveal for his glory in the last days. And this is why our trials and our afflictions are a part of this. This is why your trials are working this out in your life and my life. It is not a mistake. 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 12. You know this well. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trials which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. You have been given revelation, teaching, understanding of what your trials are about. And they're very instrumental to the overcoming life, to the bride that's preparing, making herself ready. We note that she makes herself ready. How does she make herself ready? Which includes the trials. And that's why we don't think it strange. This is why we don't think it strange when they reject us, or they lie about us, or try to cheat us. I don't think it's strange that many don't want to hear me preaching the deeper life teaching. Most don't want to hear it. I know that because I've been invited to churches over the years, and many of them, most of them, I never got an invite back. And in time, I no longer thought it strange. Because we're separated by the word of God for this last day. And yet we still think it strange, don't we? And do you know why we still think it strange, these trials? Because we're still worldly. And if there's fear in you, then you'll be cowardly as well and run away. And that, of course, was the disciples' problem, wasn't it? At the night of Jesus' betrayal. Oh, they all committed that they would follow him, even to death. And yet when he was taken, they fled. And we know that Peter even lied. They thought it strange. There was fear in them, and they revealed that they were cowards. But you see, the Lord never left them in that state. And he restored them back, didn't he? And after they get together, the 120 in the upper room, when they were baptized in the Holy Spirit, then things began to change. And instead of being cowards running away, he made them pillars of the church. And that is what he's doing with you and I, so that the remnant, the church, the body of Christ, the bride of Christ, can stand in these last days. Because if we run away, how can the church continue to function? And that is why he's delivering us from this. And we'll know when we're delivered from this, because we won't think it strange when these things happen. But we will praise God, because God is using this to reveal to the world that you are a disciple of Jesus and that you meet with him. The problem is, isn't it, that we are more interested in our own desires and our wants. And that's what often causes us to stay out of God's will. There are a lot of Christians who profess Christ, but sadly they're selfish. They're still consumed with their own interests and desires and what they want to do. But that is not what an overcomer does. An overcomer yields over to the Spirit. It's not about me. It's not about what I want, what I want to do. I only live for Jesus, for his will being fulfilled in my life each day. Now, you might not feel that. You might feel a bit convicted by that. But the point is, if you pray about that, and you give that to the Lord, and you ask for that to be worked in your life, then he's going to do it. Because you can't do it, I can't do it. But the life that now lives in his fullness in you can and will. And so as he begins to work in these areas in our lives, which he does, instead of fighting him, we start to just yield over. And in that yielding, he takes over. And do you know what a lot of that yielding actually is? It's actually letting go. It's letting go. And that will sort out the men from the boys who are walking by faith and those who are not. Who let go. Whatever he's challenging you with, let go. And often when he asks you to let go, it looks disaster. It looks about you're ready to completely go under. But that is often the point when he asks you to let go. See, Peter would never have known what it was to walk on the water unless he let go. In his case, what did he let go? He let go of the boat that he was in, his security. And the only way you will let go, brothers and sisters, is when your heart, your whole being is looking 24/7 to Jesus and nobody else. Because when you're doing that, there's no room for anything else. There's no room for fear. There's no room for doubt or anything else, because your eyes and heart are totally set looking upon him. Now, of course, only God can do that. And he will, if that's what you want. But if you're full of your own interests and your own desires and your wants, that is going to keep you out of the will and presence of Almighty God. And sadly, that is so much of Christendom today. We see, we so often refuse the cross, don't we? We don't mind Jesus having taken his cross. We don't mind seeing crosses on altars or an ornament or around somebody's neck. But when it comes to us also taking up our cross daily and following him, that's a completely different thing. And yet that is what Jesus said, if you want to be his disciple. And that's why we refuse the cross. And some are just prepared to be saved by the skin of their teeth. But who wants to go into glory being saved by the skin of your teeth? The Bible shows that we can go in as overcomers with those rewards that he has for us. Who wants to go in by the skin of your teeth into glory? When he shows us that consecration that we can have, that walk that we can have with him. This is why so much in Christendom, so many are immature. They don't want to grow up. And yet now is the time to grow up. And this is why we're baptized with the Holy Spirit, in order for us to start to grow and mature in the faith. To start to eat the solid of the word, the meat of the word. You can't survive for too long on the milk. You have to go over to the meat of the word. You see, you can also be one refusing to be separated under the gospel, which we were looking at, weren't we, back in Romans 1:1. You see, the Holy Spirit doesn't let us pick and choose the word of God that suits us. There are sadly many preachers today who choose and select certain parts of Scripture to teach because it's not too controversial. It's not too challenging. And that way they can look popular and keep their churches filled and so on. But that is not what we're called for. We embrace, we take the full gospel, the full word of God from Genesis to Revelation and what is pertaining to it. And that is why God has to reveal these things to us as I bring this to a close now. This is why we need to be taught in these last days by divine revelation, by the unction, that gift that God places in the body of Christ. We need to be hearing what the Spirit is saying to the church. We cannot live on past messages, past revelation, past history, past revivals. All of that has its place for the glory of God. But we live today, now. We live for the Jesus of today, now. And what he's saying today. This is so vital if we're to move forward in these last days. And God is speaking. He's speaking through the gifts that he has set in the body of Christ. We need to hear what the Spirit is saying. And the Spirit is most certainly saying, come out from among them and be separate and touch not the unclean thing. Separation is absolutely vital now in these last days. We are separated by the word of God so that we can hear by his word what he is saying to us in these last days in order to prepare us as overcomers, as those wise virgins that go forward. Most of the church has gone asleep with regard to the coming of the Lord. You don't hear so much of it now as you did 20, 30 years ago. And yet we're so much nearer to his coming. How many are challenged to prepare, just like the bride is to prepare for the coming of the Lord? Very few. Most have lost sight of the coming of the Lord. Yet I believe it's so very near. We know because of the falling of the way. The world is falling rapidly, further and further into darkness. The nations are pagan. People are becoming more and more pagan. These are all clear signs of what Jesus referred to in the book of Matthew 24:25, that we're to observe and to watch. The days are becoming darker and darker. And it's costing us now to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they regard us as oddities. They regard us as scum. We're a waste of space. And if they could, they would get rid of us. And of course, we know that when the Antichrist comes upon the scene, he will try that. But God is showing that way of escape. He's showing now that we can apply wisdom, faith, with that which we listen to. And when we start to come before God, and when we start to cry out and say, Lord, whatever it takes, do it. The trouble is we're not desperate. And yet the scriptures tell me the desperate take the kingdom by force, by violence. If you're not desperate, then ask the Lord to make you. Because a desperate saint will do whatever the Lord requires and wants. That is why, sadly, the church is Laodicean, as we know. It's neither hot nor cold. And God can't stand that. He says, I will spew that out of my mouth. The days of trusting in the arm of the flesh is going, brothers and sisters. We have got to allow the Holy Spirit to get us to walk now by faith in these last days. And faith comes by hearing and reading the Word of God, Romans 10:17 tells us. And that is what pleases God, when we have that simple, childlike faith that doesn't question, that just simply believes. Because that child is looking to his father. And that is what we are to do. We are to keep our eyes firmly fixed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we start doing that, we will not start asking these questions. Why, when, and why did this happen? And falling out with God and feeling angry and all those emotions that we've gone through. No, 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 no. As we read here in 1 Peter chapter 4, 12. We won't think it strange concerning the fiery trials, because we know that those trials, those fiery trials, are all working together for good to them that love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. However strange this trial is, and most of them are, I don't even understand it, I don't even want to know, but all I know is this is working for my good, for the glory of God. You see, a true overcomer is one who is willing to receive these trials for the word of God. You see, we're not saved to show the world how wonderful we are, which is what a lot in churches like to do, boast in their converts. You're not saved for that. We've already opened up this evening, didn't we, in 1 Corinthians 4:13. What the Apostle Paul said, we're the scum of the world. They don't want us. They reject us. So we certainly haven't been saved to show the world how wonderful we are. Not at all. Let's finish with Galatians chapter 1, verse 16. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 16. To reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood. And that is the reason why you are a disciple of Christ. That is why you are separated by the gospel. Because the Apostle Paul gives us the clue there, to reveal his son in me. Your salvation is not about you. It is about God's glory. It is about the Godhead, the fullness of God that lives and dwells and tabernacles in you and I. And when we get that from our heads to our hearts, our whole walk as a disciple will start to make sense. My life isn't about me. It is about God who lives in me. My faith that I walk by day is not about me. It is about Christ who lives in me. And whatever he does in and through me is for his glory. It's not about me. And that is why self has to be dealt with as disciples. Unless we yield over to the Holy Spirit and not resist him, he will work it in and through us. And that yielding, as I said so often, is simply letting go. Letting go of what if. Letting go of that rebellious daughter that seems to be going from bad to worse. Let go that God can deal with her. Whatever situation where you're still trying to hold on and control, you've got to let go completely. And guess what? God takes over. And when he takes over, then you realise, you think, whatever was that all about? What was all that fuss about? Here it was, I was trying to do it in my own strength. And finally I've let go and he has taken over. And that's what he must do. For Christ to be manifested in his body, his church, in these last days, we've all of us got to let go. We cannot build this. He doesn't want our ideas. He wants our faith. He wants us to yield over so that the true body of Christ, the bride that's making herself ready, she's making herself ready by the power of God that lives in her. That is how it's done. You see, the revelation of this, as I close now, John the Baptist, the great apostle, great prophet, he had the revelation of Christ's coming and what it was going to do. And do you know what it was? He said, I must decrease and he must increase. He saw it. How many believers, Christians, today see that? Well, unless you are called by the gospel, you won't see it otherwise. But you are blessed, you see it. Because you've been called for this for the last days. You've been called as overcomers. Wise virgins who are going forward. Don't let anything restrict you or stop you. It doesn't matter what they say, what they think, how peculiar you may look, or whatever it is. You are blessed by the Lord. You've seen, you've heard what he is saying. You are discerning. You are seeing what is happening in these last days. And we are very blessed to be part of this. Hallelujah. Well, there we are. The world's view of Jesus' disciples. And the world's view is, it's not about you, it's not about me. It is about Jesus Christ who lives in us. Heavenly Father, we thank you again this evening for encouraging us, exhorting us. Lord, we are very aware that it is by your Spirit that all will be restored. For we are in the times of restoration where you are restoring the true body of Christ and you are restoring your headship over your body and not a man or a system or an organization. And you're revealing, Father, that not only you're restoring yourself over the body of Christ, but you're covering us with the blood of the Lamb. And you're bringing us together in unity and oneness, those of like mind and of spirit. You are bringing a true love and mercy and grace into your body. You are restoring true fellowship, unity, praying one for another. You are restoring also the gifts into the church that we all function in our ministries. Father, we thank you for this. And we know that flesh and blood can't reveal this. It comes by your Spirit. Help us, Lord, to yield. Father, help us to let go, that you can continue to build in and through each of us for your glory. How you're going to do this in the last days, Father, we don't yet fully know, but that is why we walk by faith and not by sight. But you are leading us and you're guiding us. And you raise a standard against the enemy who is trying to stop all of this. You have set a pathway in the wilderness. And that is where you're leading and guiding us, just like you did with the children of Israel. The cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. And so likewise, Father, by your Spirit, you're leading and guiding us. Because we have been delivered from this world. We have been separated, consecrated unto you. And Father, we know that there is nothing that we have done to deserve this. It is by your grace, your love, your mercy. Because you first loved us. It wasn't in us. And so, Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you for sharing this word. I pray, Lord, that you will bless, preserve my brothers and sisters who have come into the room. Be with them. Give your angels charge over them, Lord. Keep them from the evil one, from temptations. Renew their youth like the eagles. Father, help them to walk by faith and not by sight. And Lord, I pray that you will reveal yourself more and more to them. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, bless you all. It's been again a blessing to share with you today. And I trust that you'll all have a blessed week. And we will be back online on Sunday. On Sunday, that is 11 o'clock UK time. That's 11 o'clock on Sunday UK time. We will open the room again. So until then, every blessing to you all.
To